For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's the first song I learned how to play on the guitar. The joke. I don't know how to play guitar, but now that I've got a lot of free time on my hand, I've thought about doing a few things.
Yeah.
I think I want to learn how to play the acoustic guitar.
So that's what Spectre did when he came here. He took, like, guitar lessons, and then that
fizzled. Did it pay off?
No.
Oh. Could you imagine if he was just in his office just strumming?
I think he's trying to sell a guitar.
Oh, he did? I remember that. I do remember that. Somebody on the text line from the 816, wait, Dusty doesn't wear unders. Let's dive into that. Okay. We used to have this topic on After Hours. Thanks for joining Fesco in the morning. I appreciate this promotion from the boss and everybody here and from Fesco and Mac for trusting me. I've always told this story. I don't wear underwear in the pool.
Who does?
I don't know. Some people wear them. I got a couple of buddies that wear like either boxers
underwear?
Or briefs underneath
what?
Their suit.
They wear a bathing suit and underwear?
Mm-hmm. And I also don't wear draws under tight jeans or pants or a suit. Like Rob's wedding. Draws.
No underwear. Yeah.
No underwear under pants?
Yeah. If it's tight suit or jeans or pants, but I wear a lot of those.
Whoa.
I just don't wear draws.
There isn't many a time that I'm not wearing underwear.
Mm-hmm. I am today, though, because it's raining.
A lot of shorts now have the built-in liners.
Yeah, that's why I love Bird Dogs and like.
Yeah, Bird Dogs are great.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I got to stay off the internet late at night.
There was a sale last week on Bird Dogs. Did you buy some?
No, I stayed off. I took it away.
Are you not Chafe City in tight pants?
Nope. I am not Jamar Chafe.
No.
I would be. Yeah.
Definitely not.
Brioche.
No, like, seriously, people are wearing, like, what are you, 90?
I just never understood it. Like
the old men still wear the jock strap, like the old school jock strap, right? I see that, right? You're still wearing the old school jock.
Like, I've got a guy on the
going in the pool. You don't need underwear. You got a bathing suit on, bro.
Like, I've got a guy right now that wants me to play golf on Sunday. I wish I could, but I have plans for a pool party on Sunday.
Oh.
It's another event. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends that have a lot of parties and the guy that has a nice pool. So we go swim on Sundays.
I don't think you understand. I'm a pretty big deal. I have a lot of friends.
Sorry.
I'm a very popular individual. I don't have time for you.
Mm-hmm. Hanging out with Walter Pennington this weekend, actually.
Mm-hmm. If I had golf clubs, I'd play with you, but I don't golf. So.
Yeah, well, we can get into it. I can pick up the guitar. You can pick up the sticks.
I'm not interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm too good to
play golf. No, I have no interest in golf at all.
I'd rather sit on my couch in the basement with my wife. Don't blame me.
I would.
I think it's the chair.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the chair.
It is the chair. Absolutely.
Yeah, somebody says you got to do it to hold down the hog. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Embrace.
In the pool?
Yeah, nah, just let it
hang. It's called shrinkage. Have you never seen Seinfeld?
Never heard of it. Anyways. The Royals last night had a chance to once again prove it to us, prove it to the city, prove it to the Major League Baseball Association. Brady Singer on the mound. You're going into this series against the Twins. You were a half game behind them. You're now a game and a half. That's how that works. Brady Singer once again against a good team didn't do it, and it's starting to get to a point where I'm losing hope. Not in the team, but in the situation where we found out last night he has a 9 ERA in Target Field.
Which is amazing, right?
Yeah. High. Looked like he was off to a hot start, struck out the side in the first, got the first two outs in the second, and then the wheels fell off, and we saw the old Brady Singer where something like very minute causes him to get frustrated, and then it just becomes a trickle-down effect, and that's exactly what happened when they had the six-run second.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Brady Singer is just not a big-game pitcher at this point in his career, and I've got the numbers to back that up. Brady Singer versus teams that are 500 and above is 3-7 with a 4.87 ERA this year.
Yeah.
Versus teams under 500, he's 5-1 with a 2.05 ERA. That tells me Brady Singer is good against teams that aren't very good, but when it comes time to facing off against good teams, Brady Singer is really not somebody that you can rely on. He doesn't get the job done against the big-time teams, and those are the facts right there. That's not a Bob Fesco opinion. Mm-hmm. That's not a Bob Fesco hyperbole. That's looking at the numbers right there from baseballreference.com. Pretty simple, pretty obvious. His ERA is more than double.
Mm-hmm.
against teams above 500 than what it is against teams below 500. And when I look at that, that's cause for concern, because you look at the rest of the schedule: Philadelphia, New York, Cleveland, Minnesota, Houston. All of these are good teams that are on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Brady Singer has to pitch better against these big time teams if the Royals want to end this thing in October. Right now, Brady Singer's getting the job done against the Sisters of the Poor, but he's not getting the job done against the teams that matter most.
Yeah. And so as we were spitballing here this morning, the first thing that came to my head, which I hated myself for this, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but it gives me Brady Singer's outings against good teams give me Tua Tagovailoa vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we looked at the season last year where Miami had set the world on fire and Tua was the MVP front runner in the first 3 weeks of the season. First 3 weeks of the season, they play the Chargers. They win 36-34. They play the New England Patriots. They win. They play Denver Broncos in week three, and that's when they put the 70 points up and beat them by 50, which is awesome. But then they played at Buffalo, and they got beat 48-20. It was never close, obviously, by the score. Then they played the Giants and won. They played the Panthers and won. Congratulations. They're 5-1. Then the next big test was at Philadelphia. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 31-17. Then they got to play the New England Patriots at home, beat them 31-17. Then they went and played Kansas City in Germany, and they lost. They played Vegas after that, the Jets after that, the Commanders after that, win. They then lost to the Tennessee Titans in a dud game. They lose 28-7, but then they beat the Jets again. They beat the Washington Commanders. Oh, we already said that. They beat the Jets again. They beat the Cowboys. And then...
Which I don't consider the Cowboys a good team.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
But then their last three games of the season versus three competitive teams where they could have won their division, they lost to the Baltimore Ravens 56-19. They lost to the Bills.
Why'd you almost sound like Binkley when you said 56 there?
Because I love Jay. And then they lose to the Chiefs in the playoff game, in the cold weather game. They lose. Big game. They didn't win a big game all year.
Right.
Unless you consider Dallas Cowboys the big game. And even then they won 22-20, whatever. NFL's tough to win. But again, that's where I see Brady Singer right now, is that he's got a lot of those Tua Tagovailoa vibes, right?
Yeah.
Tua against good teams doesn't show up the way he shows up against bad teams. And you can take, you know, a Madden reference like that just came out yesterday, Madden 25, again, another video game reference, but you can play on all pro and dominate. But then when you play on all Madden, it's like, where'd that skill set go? It's like, well, you got to play up to your skill set. And yesterday was one of those games where I was really hoping we would see Brady Singer shove. Didn't happen. I was really hoping to see the Royals take advantage of the 2-0 lead.
I mean, he had a two-out walk melt him down
yesterday.
And
we saw the mechanics kind of slip. We saw the attitude kind of drip back down to what it was a couple years ago when you'd see Brady Singer in the first inning, give up a hit, get a walk, give up three runs, and then it was over.
Based on that performance yesterday, Dusty, I would have a very hard time pitching him in a playoff game right now.
Tough against teams that are good. Because, again,
not only that, but you got two outs, you walked a guy, and then you completely melted down.
Is that a T-Rex?
I didn't see.
I thought I heard some thunder. But no, I'm with you. So, like, we go back to the discussion we've had all year long with this Royals team. If you've got game one, playoffs, who's your guy? Because they're taking their three horses into this
series. I think it has to be the guy that's pitching tonight.
Seth Lugo.
Yeah.
And we get another test tonight where we will see Seth Lugo, who's going towards that innings pitch number that he's never gotten to. And this is one of those games where it's like, hey, we need to win this game so we have a chance for a rubber game on Wednesday with another one of our aces and Cole Reagans to go against this Minnesota team. And you had mentioned the last time that Seth Lugo played against the Twins, did pretty well.
Well, he's had two starts against the Twins this year.
Yeah.
Okay. He's pitched 12 innings, and he's given up one run.
So you like your chances tonight.
I love our chances tonight,
because
right?
If you pitch to the narrative, no pun intended, if you pitch to the narrative, Brady Singer last night probably wasn't supposed to win that game, knowing what we know now, what his ERA is at Target Field. If that's the case tonight, Seth Lugo must go out there and shove.
Mm-hmm.
Go give yourself 6-7 innings, do what you can do, and then let that bullpen kind of go do its thing.
But this is why you have a guy like Seth Lugo to be your ace, to end what's going on right now, because you lost 2 out of 3 to Boston, right? You lost, or you split with the Cardinals. You lost that first game against the Twins. You need your ace, your stopper, your veteran guy, Seth Lugo, to come in and boom, slam that door And you know, that losing from yesterday and really the losing that's taken place over the last week. Like, Seth Lugo needs to be there tonight for the Royals. They obviously need to score some runs. Is that rookie, is Denny Matthews' kid pitching tonight for the Twins?
Yep.
So nobody's seen this guy.
Is his name like Zeppi? I'm serious. Oh, look. I'm pretty sure it's something like that. Or Weppy. It's something weird.
Let's see here.
It's Matthews for
Zebby.
Sure.
Zebby.
Yeah, see, I wasn't far off.
Zebby. Zebby Matthews.
My son, Zebby Matthews, pitching for the Twins tonight against the Royals. He'll get Seth Lugo at 640.
114 strikeouts and 7 walks and 97 innings pitched. I hate this matchup.
Pretty good.
Like, I hate when the young guy comes up, we don't know anything about him, and then we end up losing because we know nothing about the guy.
Yeah, I was talking to Henry Lake, who liked to chime in last night, and he was like, what's up, bro? And I was like, where were you at in the first inning when Bobby hit a rope to left field? He goes, yeah, he's good. I said, well, tomorrow night ought to be an issue because he gets Seth Lugo. He goes, yeah, there's a lot of promise with this kid coming up tomorrow. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I'm excited but nervous.
Well,
I was
like, well, that's what everybody is. Nerve-sighted is, you know, kind of like what it is, right? And I think ultimately tonight is about Seth Lugo. If he goes out there and pitches like he's done against the Twins already twice this season, going to be just fine. We'll find a way to win this game. Maybe Zebby keeps you down for a couple of innings, but you eventually get to the bullpen and maybe you take advantage late and you win the game late, like by a score of, you know, 4-3 or something like that, right?
Right.
Like, I think that's kind of the way that this one is going to play out tonight. I think Seth Lugo is going to be a rock for the Royals. He's been a rock all year, you know, for this baseball team. And I think the Zebby Matthews will be good for the first couple of innings. We'll go, oh my God, I can't believe this guy is dominating our ass. Mm-hmm. And then the bullpen will come in and the Royals will find, you know, ways to score runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning and find a way to win this thing late. That's how I perceive tonight's game going. And I think tonight it's big for Seth Lugo, man. Go out there and show that you are the ace, that you are the guy that, you know, is going to end any sort of losing streak that this club is ever involved in. And you got to do it tonight. You start the series, Dusty, like 0-2 against the Twins. That's not a good feeling, man. Not a good feeling.
Yeah. And I think when you look at tonight, the Royals plus 110 on the money line, Minnesota minus 135. So now the Royals just jumped on DraftKings. Royals now plus 114. Over under 8.5 as Seth Lugo faces
the Royals are plus money tonight.
Plus 114 on the money line. Minnesota minus 135
with Zebby Matthews pitching
against Seth Lugo. That's right.
Why?
On the road, haven't played good against good teams. They put all the factors in. But the other thing too, if you're going to take this and go for the glass half full mentality, you still have a 2-game lead at the 3rd spot in the wild card. You get a chance to send Seth Lugo out there against a rookie pitcher. And you have Salvador Perez, who likes to play well at Target Field.
Yeah, it's you know,
Bobby Witt Jr. is still hotter than, you know, donut grease on a Sunday morning from Lamar's.
Has anybody ever been as excited as that guy was that caught Bobby Witt's home run last night?
That
like, I want to be that guy for 2 seconds. That guy had the time of his life.
Well, that's
yesterday.
What he had was about 2 seconds, and then it was over.
I mean, it was... I've never seen somebody celebrate and be so happy when he caught a home run ball like that. That was awesome. Yeah. I want to channel that guy.
Yeah, I mean that's just the best thing you could possibly have as a kid, right? You get the home run, you get to cheer you're with a guy or whatever, and give it to you and just enjoy the game.
Oh, it was awesome. That guy celebrated like I've never seen somebody celebrate before. That guy was fantastic.
And I know that we always do, you know, scoreboard watching, but it's still to some about the Cleveland Guardians, and you're not watching their teams take care of the Minnesota Twins and let Cleveland continue to lose, even though they had a tough game last night against the Cubs. They ended up winning 9-8. But this is what Vern had to say yesterday about what you should be doing when it comes to the season.
Okay. I'm solely focused on the division. Because to me, this whole the past month has been strange. Some of the sentiment I'm hearing from Royals fans, come on. Yeah, you beat up on the White Sox and the Tigers, but do you know your record against everyone else? Who cares? You're in the American League Central. You know, it's not the Royals' fault that the Yankees and the Astros don't have 13 cracks at the White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians, they have 13 chances, and they're 5-5 against Chicago so far. The Royals have dominated Chicago. They've won the season series from Detroit. They've taken 4 of 6 from Cleveland, and they have a chance to even up the season series with Minnesota beginning tonight. Understandably, we praise Andy Reid for his domination of the AFC West, consistently winning that division. That is the goal. That's how you guarantee some home games at Kauffman Stadium. It's a joke to me how often I'm hearing people go, all right, third wild card. The Royals hanging on to the third wild card by a game. And the third wild card is nothing.
You don't get a home game, right?
And Bob, 40-plus games, and we're talking about the final spot in the American League playoffs, man, that can be gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Cleveland is with it. Shoot, the best record in the American League isn't that far out of reach. So I'm not going – if we don't talk about the wild card on the other side of the parking lot, I'm not doing it here.
So Vern's not talking about the wild card for the Royals. He's not talking about the wild card for the Chiefs. He's talking about the division. Five-game lead for Cleveland right now, not insurmountable at all, but you got to lose five in a row. They got to win five in a row, vice versa, to make up those five games. The work is ahead of them right now, and it really does. It starts tonight against the Zebby Matthews kid. Again, I don't understand why the Royals are plus money, but got to be very interesting to see how good this kid is and what kind of pitching performance he rolls out there. There was a text to Vern's postgame show that I want to get to, mm-hmm. Dusty, because I think it's something that you and I both kind of agree with, but I think maybe a lot of the fans will be like, you guys are out of your mind.
Mm. Coming up on the other side, Mac has some breaking news. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. We'll get into that news. It involves Bobby Witt Jr. Stay with us. We'll try to cheer you up. This is 610 Sports Radio. Always love me a good Passion Pit jam. Music bingo. Go. I'm not, but I could be. We went to break telling you there was some news. Mac, do you want to let the people know about Bobby Witt Jr. and the news that we are about to give them?
I mean, yeah, you were talking about us not being favored tonight. Yep. I was kind of weirded out by that. Bobby Witt, they're saying, I don't know what it's injury report. It's not really a thing in the MLB, but he's day-to-day right now is what they're listing him as after that hit by the pitch.
Yeah, I would imagine he's probably waking up very tender this morning.
Yeah,
right?
A little bruised.
A little sore.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably. Swollen. I mean, that was a hit.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Like, that was a hit that he took. And that's to a meaty part of your arm, too. Like, that wasn't like the wrist or something that's more bone.
That's a good point.
That's a meaty part of the arm, and it sounded like that. I can't imagine the welt, first of all, that's going to be on there. But how
my arm, it's broken.
Yeah, Bobby, I mean, my God. I mean, that was a shot that he took. And I'm sure he's going to be waking up this morning. He's probably going to be a little bit tender. He'll be out there tonight.
He'll be fine.
He'll be in the lineup tonight.
Is that the best Jackson Brown song of all time, Tender is the Night?
Oh, I think
Lawyers in Love, Running on Empty.
No,
Tender is the Night.
Which is the one they used to use in the Bennigan's commercial? Oh, won't you stay?
Oh, the loadout.
The loadout. Yeah, the whole thing. You gotta have both ends.
Yeah, that's probably his best song.
Yeah,
people stay. That song's great.
Just a little bit longer.
Random fact about your boy Dusty Likens: I know every word of that song. I just never can sing it karaoke because they go, do you want the first part or the second part?
Yes.
All of it. They said, no.
Too long. Yeah.
I said, what? People out here singing Freebird. There's a 5-minute guitar solo. Let me sing the song.
But everybody, I don't know if Freebird's more popular than that song, but I think like from a karaoke standpoint, Freebird's probably more popular.
I want to bring up a question to the text line and to you that if you missed this earlier, because we were talking about the Royals and everything about that. What fan are you currently of this Royals season? Right now, as of August 13th, 2024, are you in the boat of, well, it's been fun, reality sinks in, the season is going to end with us missing the playoffs, I'm pissed? Or are you, Dusty Likens, there's still hope. There's 42 games left. They're a wild card team. The playoffs start. They could be anywhere. Cliff Floyd on MLB Network said his dark horse to win the World Series is the Royals. Love that. He's on the Royal Caribbean cruise that we've been on all summer. Thanks to everybody else that's been on this ship as well. Or are you the fan of, you know what? I'm enjoying baseball for the first time in 10 years. It's been competitive. It's been fun. We're in October. Discussions of this team maybe making the playoffs. Let's just enjoy the ride. It's been a great time. Whatever happens, happens, but we're already on house money. 913-586-7610. Which fan of the Royals' current season are you right now,
Mr.? I'm just enjoying this ride right now, man. It's been a fun, competitive season that got the baseball juices flowing again. And what I really think is good about this season is, A, the evaluation season worked last year, right? You let everybody on the roster play. You realize what you had, what was bad, what was good. You cleaned the roster. You gutted this thing. 17 people gone off the roster, right? You evaluated and you made the right choices. And you've got a good team here right now. Now, after this season, when it's all said and done, now let's take the next step. This is losing to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game, if you want to make a comparison. But you have to do what Brett Veach did in the offseason, and I think they will. John's proven he's going to go out and spend money. There's no doubt about it. He's going to spend that money. He did on Bobby Witt, right? They did on other players this past offseason. They're going to go out and take a good look at this team and realize that this was a really good baseball team, except, well, we probably needed another bat. In the lineup, right? Maybe an outfielder. Mm. And we've got to revamp this entire bullpen. And the Royals need to revamp the bullpen the exact same way that the Chiefs revamped the defense going into that 2019 season after they lost to the Patriots in that AFC Championship game. They cleaned house on the bullpen side. I think you can keep Urseg. Other than that, I would not hesitate to get rid of anybody out of that bullpen right now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't lived here in 10 years. I have no room to complain. I came back and they're winning baseball games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really excited about it. And if you told me 6 months ago this team was going to be in fight for playoff contention and winning baseball games, and not just that for this season, but actually have somewhat of a plan for the next couple of years to be competitive, I'd be stoked. Yeah. So yeah, I'm pumped, man.
But I don't think it's for the next couple of years, dude. I really believe like this is a team that is going to establish themselves as a team that is going to be good every year. Are they Tampa Bay where they never win a world championship, or are they a team that gets you a couple World Series? Like the Atlanta Braves, very underachieving during that 14-year run, right? Very underachieving that during that 14-year run. Are the Royals going to be a team that wins you a couple of championships? Or are they going to be a team that's just in the postseason? You know, what are they going to be? But I think this is the start to them finally establishing themselves as a team that I think you could wake up every March and think, this is going to be a team that competes and contends.
That's awesome.
From the text time, I'm a mix. There's definitely still hope for the playoffs, but it won't be lighting cars on fire if it doesn't happen. It's been a positive, productive season. I'm glad people are excited about baseball in Kansas City again.
Yeah.
Another one says, how about you ask that question after the Minnesota and Cleveland series?
Well, because your opinion could change.
Well, I'm asking it today.
No, ask it today because the answer should be the same.
Yeah.
The answer should be the same. Like, right now, if you think it's over, then you should think it's over regardless of what happens with Minnesota and Cleveland. If you think they're going to win the World Series and you think they're going to win the World Series regardless of what happens with Minnesota and Cleveland, like how you're feeling right now shouldn't be any different, I don't think anyway, than after the series against Minnesota and Cleveland, unless you were really dialed in and they're like, maybe I was a little bit too aggressive with that and I'm going to back off a little bit. But I think you should feel the same way after Minnesota and Cleveland as you do right now.
The other text that coming in, we finna to win the series. Love that. You got Lugo and Reagan's going today and then tonight and then tomorrow afternoon.
About the Bobby Witt thing, just I've heard from somebody within the organization, they're not concerned about him right
good,
now.
Good.
So,
yeah, we don't just a little bruise. Yeah. Rub a little dirt on it, as Rex Heller would say.
Put a little balm on it, a little salve, and you're ready to go.
Put a little biofreeze roller tip on that. Well,
that's
stuff
the case. Sprinkle some money on that plus line. Let's go.
Yeah,
Let's go.
I guess it's because of the rookie pitcher tonight. And rookie pitchers, I don't want to use the term dominate, but they have more success. Pitchers who have not seen batters have more success than batters who have not seen pitchers. The book's not out. You don't know what to expect. And it takes a couple of times, you know, through the rotation before people get a good feel about what these guys are going to do. So I don't want to say they're going in there with a blank slate tonight, but these guys are going up the plate. They've never seen this guy before. Nobody in Major League Baseball has seen this guy before. You just don't know what he's going to do.
And somebody else is on your thing there. They said the Royals are plus money because debut pitchers throw 8 innings and 1 hit ball.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
Soul like, Brother Dusty, I'm on the Royal Cruise right now. Baseball is relevant in Kansas City again. Happy to have you on there. But again, I think that, you know, we're in this whole sort of situation right now where this season has just been an emotional roller coaster because we're not used to this sort of winning. And then they go through their, like in their last 10 games, they're 5-5. Mm-hmm. Like just, they're a 500 team right now. And they're where they are because like you'd said earlier, they beat up on the small teams.
Right. You took advantage of it.
But now it's like, okay, if they can take 2 out of 3 from Minnesota, they would then be a game and a half above Minnesota at second place. Mm-hmm. They would be still chasing Cleveland. We'll see what Cleveland does again tonight against Chicago Cubs, which last night looked very sad for Cleveland because then it was like, I think at one point it was like 5-1. And then the final score was 9-8.
Yeah, Cleveland won. I was surprised by that this
like,
morning.
Damn,
they won. Like everybody won last night.
Yeah, it was a bad day.
Boston
we
won.
We went from a great day. We went to a bad day. That's baseball.
Yep.
But the other thing
that's why you can't get caught up in the everyday of baseball,
right.
You know?
But I mean, you look at this series going into this tonight. You have Seth Lugo, who's, you said earlier, great against Minnesota this year. 12 innings pitched, 1 earned run. You get Cole Reagans to get the bounce back effect on that. And if there's one thing we know, the Royals, when they see a pitcher after the first time, they'll be all right. So it might look really, you know, shaky in the first three innings because they're going to see a rookie pitcher for the first time. But we've seen this before. The Cardinals threw a rookie pitcher out against them. They destroyed him. There was another guy they went up against the first couple innings, which is great. And then all of a sudden they saw him for the second time. Bad news bears the rest of the game for that opposing team against the Royals. So I will tell you this. I think it's okay to be all three fans. I'm a little discouraged if you're like, well, screw it, just give me to the Chiefs season.
I think I don't think anybody's there yet, are they?
There are some.
Really? Like, you shouldn't be there.
Well, there's some because they just don't feel like they can 100% guarantee that they're going to get there, so they don't want to be let down, which I don't understand why you have that mentality.
I don't get that mentality. But enjoy this ride. Like, if you would have asked that person or that fan at the beginning of the year, if the Royals are in this thing by the middle of August, are you going to be happy? They go, oh, yeah. And now they're in the middle of it. They're like, nah, you're not good enough to win it all. Well, sometimes you're just not good enough to win it all. Sometimes you do just make the playoffs and you get eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. So that's okay.
I'm just truly,
especially for a team that in 60 years has had 9 postseason appearances.
I'm just truly excited because we talked about earlier, we got to get to a break here soon. But we talked about earlier about having a good fall. The Chiefs are going to play September 5th against the Ravens. The Royals are going to play 3 games Friday, Saturday, Sunday at home against Minnesota.
Huge.
And then guess where they go after that?
Cleveland.
Yankees.
Oh.
And then after that, it's Chiefs and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Talk about a 2-week stretch where I will definitely be wearing underwear to the studio.
Yeah, please.
Coming up
do.
On the other side,
FM requires that.
Hassan Reddick news and everything else that is wrong with the Jets, 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 Jets. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. This is 610 Sports Radio and Fesco in the Morning. Monsters of Men? Dang it. I was close.
They were.
Tongue Tied is the song.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know.
Group Love.
Group Love, that's right.
I was wondering. I could see you.
I knew it was Tongue Tied. I knew it was Tongue Tied. I would have gotten half a point.
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody cares about your music knowledge, says the boss. I've been told that before.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I care.
By who?
Whom? No, I'm just kidding. Back here, final segment on Fesco in the Morning. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you on this gloomy, rainy day. Mac, I think I might take a strategy out of your old book. I might hit Hy-Vee up for the dinner plans tonight. They got a really good Motor City pizza.
Oh, yeah.
You ever had that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Detroit-style pizza, man, is slowly creeping up in my tops.
Okay.
Love the Brooklyn number one. Nothing's ever going to break Brooklyn. Love a margarita, but Detroit style's number
Detroit
two.
Detroit style is really good.
It's pretty solid. Providence
nice
pizza's
job,
good if you've ever had it.
Providence pizza's really good, yeah.
When is it good?
What is Detroit style?
It's so baked in a, like a pan that they used to, like, auto parts, basically back in the day is what it was. Yeah, like it's good. It's good, yeah.
I make car parts for the working man because that's who I am and that's who I care about.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah. No, Zelensky. But the thing is that they put like the sauce on top.
Like in a straight line
or
something
on top.
Yeah,
like a strip of sauce. It's got like a high thick crust. Almost think of it as like a pan crust, but in a square.
It's like what the old school like Pizza Hut used to be, which by the way, why is Pizza Hut delving into the French fry category now?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but I'd put mustard on them.
They got this like these pizza boxes that you can order now with side items, and
it's like the combo meal.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah, you got boneless wings. You know, you got kids don't want to eat pizza that night. Get them boneless wings, chicken nuggets, and fries.
I don't know,
appease
man.
Appease the audience. Well, we just saw an article that McDonald's is starting to hurt in sales, and now apparently they're going to collab with Krispy Kreme. So it's only a matter of time until you get a Krispy
McDonald's
Kreme Big Mac.
And Krispy Kreme are going into a collab.
Rumor on the street, dog.
Really?
Ooh. Yep.
Those donut burgers are good.
Really? You've had one?
Yeah.
You ever had a Goober burger?
Yeah, peanut butter and bacon. And yeah, oh my God. Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
that's God, a 300 yes. pound Bob.
Well, no. You know, Josh and I were in New Orleans for the Final Four in 2012.
Must
and
nice.
I never had one of those. And he's like, there's a great place here that somebody told me about that has these peanut butter bacon burgers. I'm like, I'm a little iffy on this one.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I know. I want to ask. I wish I could talk to people that were in Minnesota. I guess we could talk to Q tomorrow about it. You think he got a Juicy Lucy
probably
while he was in Minnesota?
Not, no.
I was going to say, he didn't seem like that kind of guy.
No. Have you ever had a Juicy Lucy?
I made one and burnt the absolute piss out of my mouth.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are very hot to eat and very hard to make. I tried to make one once. Yeah.
I even waited. I waited like 5 minutes. First bite. Boom. Right on the chin.
How long are you supposed to wait? Like 30 minutes after you swim, right?
Well. Depends. The other thing I like at Hy-Vee are those chicken grillers. Have you had
those? Are fantastic. I love the chicken grill. I got
that's
some
like
the other day,
that's
actually.
That's like the chicken Juicy Lucy.
Yeah, they were on sale the other day. We got a couple of those, yeah.
Oh, there they go. It says it's going to be like a breakfast bagel, but a glazed donut instead of the bagel.
Okay. Steak, egg, and cheese on a donut instead of a bagel. Joe, get with it.
Yep. Come on, Joe. Speaking of come on, Joe, Joe Namath, former quarterback of the Jets. Hassan Reddick, former DN of the Jets, never played it down, but is getting ready to out of town.
Is he still a Jet? I mean, this guy's unbelievable, and it's really not him that I'm got a concern with. It's the Jets and how they do business. They are a poorly run organization. I mean, for a team that has accomplished nothing on the field in any of our lifetimes, they are an absolute dumpster fire when it comes to this off-the-field stuff. Hassan Reddick was a guy they traded for a couple of months ago from the Philadelphia Eagles. Wanted a contract extension, and we see this happen in the NFL all the time. Your current team is not going to give you an extension. They trade you to somebody else, an extension gets worked out. Ipso facto, boom, you're done. The Jets traded for this guy and never got an extension done with this guy. And now this guy's like, well, I'm not showing up because I was traded because I wanted an extension. Just because I was traded, those demands still haven't changed. And so Hassan Reddick is like, yeah, I'm not showing up until this deal gets done. The Jets are at fault because they made a trade for a player that was unhappy with his current contract, wanted a new one. And usually, kind of the rule of thumb is in the NFL, when you trade for somebody that's got 1 year left on a contract, you're getting a deal done with them, or you already have the deal done with them. And then you trade for him, and then that deal is, you know, consummated, and everybody moves forward, just like Tyreek in Miami.
That's horseradish.
The Jets did not get a deal done with this guy and then expected him to show up. Guys in the NFL, man, they got twice at most to make money. This is Hassan Reddick's first chance to make some money in this league. I don't blame him for holding out.
Connor Hughes, he is an NFL reporter for SNY TV, says he covers the Jets and Giants. Basically, he says he watches football, then he writes and talks about it. He said the Jets were informed by Hassan Reddick's representation that he would not, or that he would report and play under his current contract. That obviously has not happened. They let Reddick know that they were open to adjusting his current deal, but only when he showed up. They would not commit to him until he committed to them. The Jets will not cater to a player who has never played a down for them before. Understandable, considering the message that would be sent to others in the locker room who also want a new deal, a la DJ Reed, Michael Carter, etc. If Reddick wants to sit out for this entire season, he can. But he will be fined each day and game missed. His contract will toll, and the Jets will retain his rights for the next year.
Find me one person on earth who doesn't believe that they're underpaid and doesn't want a new contract with whatever it is that they do, right? So to sit there and go, what kind of message is this going to send? The message that it sends is we're going to take care of our players and we're going to get guys signed and we're going to have a great working relationship with agents and players and we're going to make this a place that people want to be. This Connor guy sounds like somebody's a ball washer for the Jets. I mean, that's clearly propaganda being spread by the organization. Players inside the locker room want each other to get paid. There's none of that goes on inside that locker room. Everybody's excited when the guy next to them is able to get a check and cash in and get life changing money. You pay one guy, then everybody else thinks, okay, now maybe I got a chance. Maybe they'll pay me too. And I think it raises the spirits of everybody inside that locker room. Would you rather have them not pay Hassan Reddick and him not be part of what you have going on? Or if you're inside that locker room, wouldn't you want them to pay Hassan Reddick so he can be part of what you have going on because you're a better team with him than you aren't? I mean, that's a ball washer comment if I've ever seen one from that. What's the guy's name? Colin Quinn?
Yep. Oh, I miss Colin Quinn. Connor Hughes.
Connor Hughes?
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Connor, I hate to break you the news. Stop being a ball washer for the team.
The other thing I will tell you, too, is, hey, Connor, you know the name Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, right?
What are we doing here? Like, I understand that you're trying to get all the inside information and try to get the breaking news deals, but let's be honest with you. Come on now.
Come on.
Aaron Rodgers.
They paid that guy and bent over backwards for that guy.
Never played a down and has only played three downs for the entire franchise in 2 years. So before you want to get into the whole, well, they don't want players to not get paid. They haven't played.
We're not going to pay somebody who's never played a down. Then why did you trade for him? And if that's your MO, and that's your rule of thumb, that you're somebody who's never played a down for the team before, then you never should have made that trade for Hassan Reddick, ever. That's a bad trade. That's something that leads you to getting fired.
I just think it's hilarious that the Jets season is over before it's even begun.
Oh, it's the best.
Again.
It's the best.
Are they the worst franchise in sports right now?
Well, they're the longest drought of not making it into the postseason in American professional sports. So, I love it. I love this dumpster fire that is the Jets. You can count on it every single year.
Is that fireman still out there leading the charge?
I don't know. I thought he quit.
Oh, he did? They finally made him quit?
Yeah, like he's like, I'm done with this. But I think they got Rodgers and then he came back. So I don't know where he is right now.
Somebody from the 816 says, Wolfman is in one today. I don't know what that means.
Mm-mm.
And they asked for, what's my best Tom DeLonge impression? We don't have one because he canceled my show last Friday. And now he's back in Milwaukee. Congratulations, Milwaukee. I'm still hot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would be too. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I am also still hot about Dan Orlovsky's list, as he has the most intriguing lists of all time. I don't know why he has these, but here we are once again.
Yeah, because we'll talk about it.
Well, yeah, we will, and it's not great. He has his quarterback rankings, but he has them in classifications. They don't all make sense, but he has the first one is arm strength. No secret here. You know who those guys are. Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. I don't understand how he's on that list. Will Levis, your guy who likes mayonnaise shirtless. Great commercial if you missed it. Ball placement is the one I don't understand, because he says there's a difference between accuracy and ball placement, kind of like how there's a difference between the best player and the best quarterback. But accuracy is the ability to throw the ball to your guy, while ball placement is keeping it away from the defender.
That's a word salad right there.
That's what did you call it the other day? A meat sandwich or a
moron sandwich stuffed with an idiot?
Yeah, a moron sandwich.
Yeah, idiot's the meat.
Yeah. And the idiot's the meat. Yeah.
So this is a moron sandwich, and Orlovsky is the meat.
Yeah,
then he fools the condiment.
He goes into mechanics. Would the horseradish be the condiment? Who's a natural thrower as a mechanics? Natural thrower. Who has the best footwork? Who moves well within the pocket and always has plays in rhythm? Joe Burrow, number one. Matt Stafford, number two. Justin Herbert, number three. Okay. Patrick Mahomes, not on the list. He then goes into decision-making with the football. Quarterbacks have to be able to read the defense and recognize what is trying to get him to do with the ball. Aaron Rodgers, number one. Patrick Mahomes, number seven. Finally, pocket presence.
Mm.
Patrick Mahomes, number one.
He's never in the pocket, but I guess that's why he has pocket presence. He knows when to get out, knows when to escape.
But the list before that is quarterbacks have to be able to read the defense to recognize what it's trying to do to get him.
Well, it doesn't make sense. Dusty, come on. Okay. Stop. Okay. Stop. Yes. Stop trying to say you said this, so you can't say this. The people don't follow the rules. Okay. The one that bothers me the most, though, that I take severe umbrage with, is they don't have Patrick Mahomes ranked very highly on the ability to run. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best running quarterback in the NFL. He's not the fastest. He's not the flashiest, but his runs make teams pay the most. Mm-hmm. They're 3rd and 7. He gets 8. 3rd and 8. He gets you 9. The greatest play of Mahomes' career, everybody talks about, is the run against Tennessee. His runs at that quarterback position are more devastating than anybody else's runs at the quarterback position. And he does them and he times them so perfectly. Just when you feel like you've held the Chiefs and you're getting ready to get off the field, Patrick Mahomes escapes and picks up that first down. His runs are devastating and they're backbreakers and they're just like you stab you in the heart, let you bleed out type of runs. That's why Patrick Mahomes to me is the best runner in the NFL.
And you think about the two biggest runs in Chiefs history from, I'd say the three.
I mean, the Tennessee, the Philadelphia.
And then the third biggest run is the bootleg by Bono. If that ages me. Mac has no idea about that play.
No idea, but 4th and 1 against the Niners in the Super Bowl has to be on that list.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
That was good.
That was good.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'll have to show you Bono play against the Niners.
I didn't see this.
Oh, man, it's like a 75-yard boot, and Bono's just going down the field. He's got one blocker, and he can just walk it in. But yeah,
that was old man football back then.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. That's when you wore turtlenecks, had a Chiefs emblem on it in your school pictures, and you had your mom comb your hair. This is what's interesting. Mahomes, when it comes to running, how many times, like you mentioned, that you see it when it's like 3rd and 9, right? Like you were just saying, and it's like you think he's going to throw it, and then all of a sudden it's like the drive extends because it's like, here comes this guy that might not look like the most athletic runner, but he knows every time where the line of scrimmage is, so he knows when to throw it if he needs to. He knows where the first down marker is, even if there isn't lasers, and he's able to get the first down and carry the drive. And it's not because, like you said, it's not because he runs a 40-yard dash faster than most. It's not because he's like agile or he's super quick. He just knows when to do it. He's an intelligent runner, and I'd rather have an intelligent runner than a superstar.
Well, I would too. I think what Patrick Mahomes does is the difference between winning games and losing games, and part of the reason why he's such a great quarterback. Everybody wants to talk about his arm and all that, and fine, but he just knows how to run. He's physically gifted in knowing how to run. I think he learned a lot of that from Alex Smith. Alex Smith was a great runner. Alex Smith was a very smart runner, and you see a lot of that in Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to run to be flashy. He's not going to run to, you know, look at me, look at me. He's going to run and he's going to make it pay. And you watch Patrick Mahomes this season. Every run that he has will be a run where it extends a drive. And you see the body language of the other team just drop. The shoulder shrug, the sideline lets out a sigh, and that gives you all that energy, man. That's why Patrick Mahomes is so good at running the football, because he devastates an entire roster when he does it.
I guess when I think about best rushing quarterback, I think about them not having the ability to throw. And when you mention all of Mahomes' best runs, it's because everyone thinks he's going to throw the football, right? It's because he's the biggest threat with his arm in all of the National Football League. And yeah, he's athletic and he's savvy and he has great runs, great timing, and they hurt as an opponent.
They do. They
crush you.
But if
you take away his arm and you, hey, say just run, I'll tell you, Lamar could still run and be productive. That's why he's the best runner.
No, there's no question about Lamar being great, but his runs, are, to me, because
no,
he hasn't
been
in those situations yet, haven't been as devastating as the Patrick Mahomes runs. Watch these games from the perspective of the opposing fan.
For sure.
And then react like you would if you were an opposing fan watching Patrick Mahomes pick up a first down when there's no way he ever should have picked up a first down. It crushes you. It's a soul-crushing run.
Ready for tonight?
Let's
game
go.
2-3 against Minnesota. Seth Lugo.
Yeah, got to get it
Zappy
done.
Matthews.
Yeah. Okay. Zebby? Is it Zebby? Zappy?
Hey, Dusty, do another Denny Matthews impersonation. It was spot on. Coming up next, it's going to be Cody and Gold. Cody and Gold brought to you by The Parking Spot. We have you covered. Lugo, 12 runs, 12 innings, one run allowed against the Minnesota Twins with his slider, sweeper, sinker, and singer. He throws like 12 pitches.
Yeah, he
does.
Lugo
shoves tonight, man. Let's just do that.
It's all up to Lugo, man. He's got to go out there and be the ace of the staff. That's what it's all going to come down to. Whether Seth Lugo or not gets the job done, I think he will. He's been good against the Twins this year. He's been good against everybody this year. This is the perfect guy to have going tonight.
Somebody's really confused as well. They don't live in Missouri anymore. They don't know where Josh Klinger is. He has retired. This is your new show moving forward. Damn glad to have you.
And we'll be on the FM beginning on
Thursday.
5:58,
we launched that, Daddy. And at 10:58, Mac is going to launch into a nap.
Oh, yeah, brioche.
When's your mommy get home?
Tomorrow. Living it up tonight.
Tell your mom I said hi.
Yeah.
That's not rude. That's just nice.
That's nice.
Speaking of nice, it's cool to care. Go do nice things for people out there today, baby. Never know it could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Stay kind. Stay safe, Kansas City. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Cody and Gold up next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.